Scripture of the day, James 2, 1 through 13. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor, you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet." Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppress you. Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the laws of transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So, I'm a professional when it comes to water parks. I love them a lot. I like going when it rains, especially because the lines are really short. And I'm like, what does it matter? I'm already getting wet, so I might as well go. Now, one of the things I do when I go to a water park is I go to the lazy river when I just need a little bit of downtime. And if you've been to a lot of different water parks, there are times where they have different types of inner tubes, some that hold two people, some that hold one person, some that are four, different styles. And in those times, I look and I see which one I think is going to be the very best in that moment. But sometimes when the very best is not available, rather than just taking the tube that is right there that I can just get into the lazy river right then, I wait. I wait because I got to get the very best tube. I got to get my favorite style, got to get the number of people I want, and so I wait. We're in the second week of our Lazy River sermon series, Breaking Free from Lazy Faith, where we're going through the book of James, and we're really looking at how we can take our faith off of autopilot and truly live out our faith through the words of James. And so we see our scripture today, but I'm going to talk about it a little differently before we get into that wording that James has, okay? So imagine that you are at a party of some sort, and two people walk in. One person has fried chicken and macaroni and cheese to share with everyone. That's one of my favorite meals, if you don't know me. And the other person that walks in with grilled chicken, salad, some steamed vegetables. Which person do you think people are going to gravitate to? Well, they're definitely going to go to chicken. A majority of people tend to go towards the unhealthier option. And I know for my own life, I would definitely go to the fried chicken and macaroni and cheese because I was so picky. And I was so picky, especially when it was healthy items as I was growing up. And for me, it wasn't necessarily that I didn't like them all the time, but some of it was that I had not tried those vegetables or that grilled chicken, but I was worried that I wouldn't like it. I was worried that I should stick with what I'm comfortable with in that fried chicken and that macaroni and cheese. Now, I have grown up a little bit, and I do eat more vegetables, so there is a chance for everyone else as well. But then when we look at the story out of James, he talks about two men walking into the worship space. We see one who's wearing fine clothes, gold and rings, and then we see another who is poor, dirty clothing. And so then James asks those who he's writing to, who are you going to be more willing to say, sit next to me? Sit next to me. And most of those individuals, most of us would say, oh, I'm going to ask for the first person. I'm going to ask for the one in the fine clothes, wearing the fine jewelry. That's the one I'm more comfortable with. That's the person that I think I have similarities with. Or a flip side of that is maybe that's the person we think that we can find opportunities to improve our lives. Because when James is writing this letter and this particular scripture, you have your emperors, your royalty, and then you have your rich landowners. But a majority of the community in which James is writing to are those who are dependent on landowners, those who are dependent on how the harvest goes. And so at times, they don't have the opportunities to have the resources that are available for them and their families. And so for this audience that James is writing to, it's about going to the man in which they see opportunity to gain the resources that they need in everyday life. So while it might be comfort for us, it could also be opportunity. We're going to go to the person or the situation that benefits us, that makes us more comfortable, that we're willing to do without going outside of our bubble. But see, then that creates a little bit of a dilemma. And James points out this dilemma. As James keeps going on, he shares something that Jesus spoke that is written in Matthew and other places. Love your neighbor as yourself. How can we love our neighbors if we're choosing which neighbors we love? Which group of people we think deserves our love? How can we do as Jesus tells us if we're going to pick and choose? Because like James says later, we can't pick and choose necessarily the rules that we follow. We can't listen to the rules of do not murder and do not be an adulterer and then decide, oh, I think it's okay to murder somebody, but I'm okay as long as I don't commit adultery. Oh, I think it's okay to love that person over there, but I'm not sure I'm ready to love that person. We are loving our neighbors in that moment, but we're not loving all of our neighbors. We're doing what James is warning us from. We're showing that favoritism towards others for whatever reason, whether it be because that person gives us the best opportunity to move up in our career, or if it's just because we're more comfortable, because that person has the same likeness as we do, wears similar clothing, works at the same place, is from the same culture that we may be from. How many people in our congregation today have been to some gathering with a lot of extended family? Yes? Okay, well, there are some people who are wrong because Christmas and Easter, most people get together. In those moments, whether it be your family or your community that maybe a work community, or you're going with your spouse into one of their communities, we've probably all experienced a time when we felt like the outsider, when we felt like a person who maybe did not belong in that moment, because maybe we did not understand all the mathematical terms that the accountants were talking about, or maybe it's as Liz talked. They were Auburn fans, and so we decided not to talk. Or Alabama or Georgia. Maybe it's just that we lived in different neighborhoods. I'm betting, though, that we've all felt like the outsider at some point in our lives. Now, how did that make us feel? Did it make us feel like we didn't want to go and be a part of that community? Or around those people who left us out, who showed favoritism towards other individuals because maybe they root for the same athletic team, or maybe they work for the same place. So what would happen? What would happen if an individual or a group of people walked through our church doors, moved into our neighborhoods, that said openly that, you know, I don't know if I necessarily believe in this God figure that Christians talk about. I'm not sure I understand who Jesus is. So in that moment, do we, as those that believe in Christ, stick our nose up and go hang out with our Christian friends rather than showing love to that individual? What happens if that's the only opportunity that that individual or that group of people have to encounter Christ's love? Because the beauty of it all is, yes, Christ talked about loving our neighbors, but Christ also showed us what it meant to love our neighbors. We can read all through the Gospels of Jesus sitting with the poor and the hungry. We can see Jesus with people who were considered outcasts because maybe they had some type of disease or they had some kind of physical deformity. And so the culture at the time was, oh, then that person doesn't need to be around us. They're possessed by evil spirits. Jesus also would eat with tax collectors, who were some of the nastiest people in those times. But Jesus goes a little further, too. Let's take when James and John, they come to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus. And James and John, they're part of the inner core of Jesus' disciples. And they say, we want to be at your right and your left hand in the kingdom, in your kingdom. And Jesus didn't just say, yeah, come on, y'all are my favorites, let's do it. No, Jesus said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We see so many different examples of where Jesus did not see favorites. We see so many examples where Jesus loved each and every person the same way. No matter of their past, no matter where they've come from, no matter who their family was. And so if we're going to truly live out our faith, the faith that we have through Christ, then we too should love one another and see nobody as different in our eyes. We should love our neighbors, not just the ones that we're comfortable with, not just the ones that we gain opportunities from, but that we should love all of our neighbors, no matter the circumstances, no matter where they have been, no matter where they have come. Because, you know, none of us sitting here are perfect. And we have all had times of disobedience towards God. We have all had times where we have not lived our life in a godly manner. But yet, God still loved us. God still loves us. God's always going to love us. God doesn't show favoritism between Arthur and I, even though Arthur definitely is better than me as senior pastor. God sees us all and loves us all the same. And so if we're truly going to live out our faith, if we're truly going to get off of autopilot, we have to stop waiting for our favorite tube to come and be ready for us to take on the lazy river. We have to take what's in front of us and available. We have to see each and every one of those inner tubes as an inner tube that'll float us and get us to where we need to go. We need to see each and every person as God does. As a child, as someone to be loved, someone to be cared for, someone that needs to know that God loves them. And the best way for them to know of God's love is through the actions of ours. Ours who believe in God, who have felt Christ in our hearts, who have been transformed. Those who are following in the footsteps of how Jesus has taught us. Because no one is different in the eyes of God. No one is different in the eyes of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence in our life, Lord. And we just ask that you help us do better. Help us not pick and choose who deserves our company or who deserves our love or who deserves our help. But help us through our faith live out your love to all those that we encounter. Help us be the ones that show your love to this world so that all your children will know who you are and how you love more than we will ever realize. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.